بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And welcome to this interview with productive Muslims around the world. Today's guest is Imam Zayd Shakir. Imam Zayd is amongst the most respected and influential Islamic scholars in the West. He is a frequent speaker at local national Muslim events and the co-founder of Zaytuna College. Imam Zayd, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair for coming on this call. I think our first question in asking you is, what's the typical day for Imam Zayd?
Without going into too many details, the typical day is very busy. There's not much time for any sort of frivolous activities. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, alhamdulillah. You said that there's not enough time. A lot of times when we come to these interviews, we notice that most of the people interview say the same thing, is not enough time. Whilst others are spending time, just, you know, wasting time, they feel bored. What do you mean by not enough time?
Well, I think there's always more to study, there's always more to write, there's almost more to read, there's almost always more to do. So if you add all of that up, there's not enough time to do everything that you would like to do on the one hand, and more importantly, all of the things that you feel need to be done. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, you just have to draw the line and try to, do whatever you are doing in the very best manner.
How do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line?
I think it's very important to look at your health and your obligations to your family, and then the obligations to the local community also, who are really the people that, I mean, everyone is standing on someone's shoulders, and sometimes we can forget that and neglect those that are closest to us, such as our family. So, you know, a lot of activists tend sometimes, not intentionally, but just so obsessed, and not obsessed but busy with things outside of the home or things far away, things that require one getting on an airplane to tend to, and forget about those that are closest to them. And then so that is one way to help draw the line. And then one's health, to understand, like, you could literally be working 24/7 and 24 hours a day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and literally burn yourself out and/or compromise your health. So I know many others, when our immune system has been compromised just from lack of rest, being on flying a lot, and being in the bacteria-filled environment. Like an airplane, and not getting proper rest, not staying on top of your diet because you're visiting so many people and you're eating so many different cuisines that you normally wouldn't eat at home, and your health compromised. Just now, yesterday, one of the most active brothers here in the United States, Mehdi Bray, who's a head of MASS, the Islamic American Society's Freedom Foundation, suffered a massive stroke. I just saw him last Friday at the MASS convention in Chicago before I came here to Toronto for the Reviving the Islamic Spirit conference. I'm with him, he's smiling, but I know he flies frequently to the United Kingdom, he's flying all over the United States, he's working on many different fronts, and bam, he suffered a massive stroke. So, you know, قَدْرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, what Allah wills is going to be, but Allah has instructed us to take the means. So I think just considering one's health and just one's physical limitations can help one to begin to draw the line, so that it's not just 24/7, 365 days a year, that one takes back, steps back a little, and tries to take time for their health and take time to reinforce their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. You're right. It seems to be there's two almost camps of brothers and sisters. There's those who are very, very active extremely active to the point where literally they hurt themselves and sometimes hurt their families. And then there's the other extreme who are not very active and they don't do much and they waste time on the internet and waste time on TV. I mean, how would you encourage them to almost become more active?
I would say that, first of all, the encouragement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the believers are like the individual bricks in a wall, each one strengthens and supports the next. So we need their support. We need your support, brothers and sisters. And the more work we can spread around, then the less will fall on any one person. So if there were more people giving talks and more people taking time to try to respond to some of the slander that's being put out there, more people going around to try to meet these various needs, there would be less falling on any one. So I think it's very important for brothers and sisters out there who, in many instances, are very talented, very knowledgeable. And even to dawah, it doesn't take great knowledge, it just takes knowledge of what you're teaching people. As again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instruct us, "Belligu anni walau ayah," so deliver this truth from me, even to the extent of a single verse you might know. So, if we have more and more people just trying to help out in little ways, I think there'll be less falling on the shoulders of a few. It'll be spread out amongst the many, and then that need that a lot of active brothers and sisters feel to try to be everywhere at the same time won't be so pressing. So I think to just summarize and reiterate, it's very important for all of the brothers and sisters to realize just how important their individual contributions either are or how important their individual contributions can be.
SubhanAllah, that's great advice there. Imam Zaid, what keeps you productive? What keeps you active?
I think it's a responsibility that we have. You know, Allah Ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, "Wajahidu bi amwalikum wa anfusikum fi sabilillah, wajahidu fillahi haqqa jihad." So strive in the way of Allah, as should rightfully be the case. And so the right that Allah Ta'ala has over us, we never meet with our actions, so we can only try. You know, it's just for the vision alone. A man was offered, does he think 500 years of worship would be adequate compensation through his actions for his worship alone, for his vision alone? And he said, no, I'll rely on Allah's mercy, after he thought his actions were sufficient. So our actions are never sufficient, so we just try to do what we can do to the extent of our ability, resources, time, and limitations, and trust in Allah. But knowing that we've been enjoined to strive for this religion, we've been warned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if we neglect others, then we might expose ourselves to Allah Ta'ala neglecting us. Wallahu fi auni al-'abd ma kana al-'abdu fi auni akhihi. Allah will continue to help the servant as long as the servant is helping his brother. So I think it's very, very important for us to do whatever we can do with the time and limitations we have. And that's one thing, and that realize it's an obligation, that's another thing, and then realize that we only have so many breaths in this world, and we're going to be taken to account for every breath. So it behooves us to try to make sure that each breath that we take is accompanied by a productive action.
Definitely. I mean, the way you spoke right now, I kind of gathered that for you is the action is more important than the results. Is that true?
Well, the results are out of our hands. So, you know, there's a great aphorism by Ibn Athaillah al-Iskandari, "Arih nafsaka min at-tadbir, fama qama bihi ghayruka anka fala taqum bihi li nafsik." So, relieve yourself from being obsessed with the outcome of your plans and arrangements. So, he's not telling us not to plan or work for what someone else has undertaken on your behalf. Don't try to undertake it yourself. So Allah Ta'ala has undertaken responsibility for the outcomes, and we've just been enjoined to work. And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stressed that the people in the early days weren't responding the way he thought they should, and he was grieved. But Allah told him, don't grieve yourself over that. The outcome is with Allah Ta'ala. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. You have nothing to do with the outcome. So the outcomes are with Allah. And I think knowing that helps us to keep working, because, you know, all you have to do is work, and then the outcome's with Allah. If a person thinks that their actions are going to affect the outcome, when that doesn't happen, they might give up. Say, I worked, I tried, and what I thought was supposed to happen didn't happen. But we don't know what's supposed to happen. Only Allah Ta'ala knows that. And so we have indications, we have ordinary cause and effect relationships, but those relationships aren't always actualized, as was the case with Ibrahim. The fire is supposed to result in burning, but when Allah Ta'ala ordered the fire not to burn, it didn't burn. So any outcome, even the outcome of normal causal relationships, is all independent. They're all independent actions governed by the command and the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, I think you spoke about many of the concepts there that, alhamdulillah, we have in Islam, that, you know, almost if anyone has those concepts in their mind, it lifts them up and keeps them productive. What are the aspects of Islam or concepts or acts of worship that really inspire the person to be productive and not to give up?
The idea that every moment you have is an opportunity to do something good that's going to bring you etcher. So if the end of time comes to you and you have a seedling in your plan, in your hand, then plant it. So even at the end of time, we're encouraged to keep working and to hope for good, that your work will result in good. So every moment we have in this earth is an opportunity for etcher. And I think understanding that concept is something that encourages us to take advantage of our time. Also, once that moment goes, we can never bring it back. So if it passes and we haven't done something good and productive in it, we can't bring it back. We could try to use the next moment to do something good or productive, but we can't bring that moment back. It's gone. And we don't know, Yawm al-Qiyamah, we might come up short a little bit, and we wish we had that moment back. So as opposed to regretting and being remorseful over the opportunities that have passed us by, it behooves us to take advantage of the opportunities we actually have right now.
Alhamdulillah. Now, with so many sort of projects and talks and flying around, how do you stay focused and not get distracted when it comes to, for example, learning or writing or preparing yourself? So how do you sort of help yourself to be focused?
I think is time management is very important. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ reminded us, husnul tadbir nisful ma'isha, that good organizing is half of your livelihood. So I think it's important to manage one's time effectively, but also it's important to regroup and to take time out so that one can bring focus and energy to the endeavor. So one thing I try to do wherever I go to, I try to, if there are any woods nearby, hiking trails, is to take time out to hike. In Ramadan, I try not to travel, so to kind of regroup and get spiritual energy built up for the rest of the year, and also to reconnect with the local community. So that's very beneficial. Trying to just take time to read the Quran regularly, so that the messages of the stories of the Prophet ﷺ, the story of Rasulullah, his struggle sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the struggle of the earlier prophets, and then just the nourishment for the soul that one gains from going back to the Book of Allah. So that's something else I think is very, very important, and it helps to maintain the focus, to be able to step away even briefly and replenish oneself, nurture oneself by being out in nature, taking a hike, or taking time to relish in the message of the Quran. I think all of those things help to create a lot of positive energy that can be used that can help one to maintain one's focus and to maximize one's productivity.
Alhamdulillah. We've asked our fans today what questions they'd like to ask you. I'm going to pick up a couple of questions for you. This one of them, Brother Zing Zaid Zahir asked, "How do you fight laziness, even moments of your downtime and laziness?"
Yeah, I think the best way to fight laziness is first with ta'awudh. Like when you find yourself hour after hour sitting in front of the television like a couch potato, just stop. Say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem." Because shaitan encourages us to be lazy. Like there's the hadith of the man who sleeps through the night, he's going to get up, and shaitan tells him, "Urqud," you know, keep sleeping, until he misses his opportunity to hajjud, or if to maximally shaitan can get him to miss fajr. So shaitan tell him, just keep sleeping, oh, there's time. And I think the same thing when we're just sitting around, shaitan is whispering to us, "Oh, you have time, just relax, you work hard during the week, you deserve a break." And so I think when we find ourselves just wasting time, when we find ourselves just vegetating in front of the television or even on the internet excessively, just remind ourselves, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem," and get up and start doing something productive, because that's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves.
Alhamdulillah. And the second question from Sister Amina. She said, "Do you have any tips or advice for sisters or housewives and how they balance between their housework, their kids, and pursuing their studies or da'wah?"
First of all, by understanding that a sister like Sister Amina, who's at home with her children, is doing the best thing you could possibly do by sacrificing time to ensure that the coming generation is nurtured. So, and nurture is more important than education, that they're safe, that they're held, that they're hugged, that they're fed with love. So to do that is critically important. So to understand what you're doing has great ajr. So it's not a situation where your life is worthless, or you could be getting so much more ajr if you were studying or doing something outside of the home. So realizing the importance of what one is doing, and then by thanking Allah for that opportunity, which is taslim, to submit to Allah. "You've blessed me with children, I'm going to take care of them in the best ways." And then when one is devotes themselves to study, when the children are napping or at the end of the day and the children are put into the bed, and then one studies for an hour or two, or reads one Quran, reads Sirah of the Prophet or something, that time will be blessed, will have barakah in it, and that person will get more out of that time than if they had spent all day studying, because that time is appreciated, and then the time that was spent away from study is appreciated also, as it's a manifestation of what Allah Ta'ala has decreed to happen during that time, that I'm busy with the home and busy with the children. And that taslim opens up the door for Allah Ta'ala to put barakah in the remaining time. So when a sister such as Sister Amina turns to her books and turns to her mushaf, she'll get more out of it than she would have gotten if she had actually done it all day, because it's accompanied with a pleasure with Allah's decree. "Allah, you've decreed that I have a family, and you've blessed me with beautiful children, and you've blessed me with the inclination to want to serve them." And so that pleasure with Allah is Allah Ta'ala blesses that person who's expressing pleasure with his decree, and he gives him or gives her far more benefit in the time that remains to be devoted to the things that they want to devote it to, such as studying or reading or reciting or memorizing something.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Shahbaz asks, "How do you deal with negativity from others? People try and put you down."
By exuding more positivity. You know, that was a big thing we were discussing here in Toronto, that you can respond to negativity with more negativity, and it's not going to do anything. Or you could respond with positivity. Sin is negative, tawbah is positive. So you don't respond to sin with more sin. يعني وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحوها. Follow up any misdeed, any sin with a good deed, being weightier in the scale will wipe it out. So the positivity represented by the Tawbah is greater than the negativity represented by the sin, so it cancels it out. The same thing, if we respond, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة. Good and evil are not equal. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. Respond to evil with that which is better. Respond to negativity with that which is better. فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. And then you'll see unexpected outcomes. That's just to give that reading to that verse. فإذا فجائيا, unexpectedly you'll see the one between whom he and you there was great enmity become as it were an intimate friend. So if we understand Allah Ta'ala has power, huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, he has power over everything, and he can give us gifts we would never expect to receive just by responding positively to a negativity. So respond to the brother to asking the question, respond to that negativity with positivity. That will negate it. That will negate it and wipe it out. The darkness of the night cannot remain in the face of the rising sun. As the sun rises, the darkness disperses. So, as our negativity manifests itself, I mean our positivity rather manifests itself, any negativity around us will disperse just as the rising sun dispels the darkness.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Amir asks how to stop procrastinating. You have an important task and you keep on delaying and delaying and delaying.
To realize that it's procrastination is from shaitan, because shaitan wants us to not undertake the good deed. So if he can get us to procrastinate, the greater the chance we'll be distracted from it altogether. And that's why two of the qualities that a believer manifests are hazm and azm, is decisiveness and resolve. We make up our mind and then we act decisively. We don't waver. And also understanding that wavering, that's a sign of the hypocrites. When Allah Ta'ala describes the hypocrites, he says, مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. They're fluctuating between this and that. No decisiveness, no firm purpose. لا إله إلا ولا إله إلا. Not firmly in this camp, not firmly in that camp. So the believer is decisive. The believer acts with conviction, and the believer acts with resolve, and the believer acts if it's a good cause immediately, so that he or she will take advantage of that opportunity. So realizing those opportunities to do good that come to us. Again, if we procrastinate, and then the opportunity passes, it's never coming back. And so that's a chance we had to earn good for our souls that we're never going to have again as long as we live. So a similar opportunity might come, but it's not the same. If someone is offering to give you $10 and you refuse, then someone else might give you or come and offer you $10. It's not the same $10. You could have had 20. Now you're going to just have 10. And it's not the same. The first $10 had different serial number. It was minted in a different year. It's not the same. So your opportunity to get that particular $10 has passed. So you might get another $10, but it's not the original one. And because you passed up on the first, you missed the opportunity to have 20. So I think it's very important for us to realize that the procrastination is from shaitan, and that it robs us of the opportunity to enrich ourselves. So we enrich ourselves by accumulating wealth. But if we miss this opportunity, we miss that opportunity, then even the things we do, they're not cumulative. It's like we're starting from scratch when we could have been far, far ahead in the game.
But the final question from our fans is, Brother Salul is saying, how can one balance their productivity in terms of dunya and akhirah?
That's very important. One thing is to realize the good things we do for our dunya, for our akhirah. بالنيات صارت العادات عبادات. With good intentions, ordinary acts become acts of worship. So using our intentions to transform our ordinary acts into acts of worship. So I'm eating, I have to eat, but I make niyyah, I'm eating to strengthen my body so I can serve Allah more vigorously. Now it's worship. You know, I'm working my job. I make niyyah, I'm working my job so I can provide my family with halal income and ward off the haram from them. Now it's worship at that point. So we, by realizing even the ordinary things we do can be transformed into acts of worship, then we realize even those things are helping us to work towards our akhirah. And then stepping back and taking time. And in Ramadan, those who have vacation time, take it for i'tikaf, so that you can replenish yourself. And that replenishment helps to balance out the draining, sometimes draining and debilitating impact of the dunya. So on a daily basis, make sure we're taking an hour or so to read the Quran, to engage in the ma'thurat or whatever we might read, so that we're constantly renewing our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slowing down in our prayer so that when we pray, it's 10 minutes of spiritual nourishment. It's not just rushing through the prayer. It's not an exercise, 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're done. But we just slow down and really take our time to focus on what we're reciting. Take our time to really think about the fact that we're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if we could do those things, excuse me, also those will help us, inshallah ta'ala, to balance between the deen and between the dunya. By taking more advantage of the religious acts we do are blessed to do, such as our five prayers, by giving more quality to them, by realizing the ordinary things that we do for our dunya can be transferred into benefit for our akhirah with good intentions. And then taking time to step out of the fray and to get away from it and to go into isolation, do i'tikaf, spend some time away from our normal routine, so that when we come back to that normal routine, we're replenished and we feel we've nurtured our souls and we've done something for our akhirah, for our hereafter. I think those things can help in that regard, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah, inshallah. Back to our questions, we have two final questions. The first one is, how would you define a productive Muslim?
I think a productive Muslim is one who is serving Allah, taking time to serve Allah. As Allah Ta'ala reminds us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've only created the jinn and humans that they worship me. And we could even translate that they serve me. And then taking time to serve humanity with various projects and endeavors. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You're the best community raised up for humanity. That is to say, لِخِدْمَةِ النَّاسِ, to serve the people. سَيِّدُ الْقَوْمِ خَادِمُهُمْ, as it said, the leader of the people is their servant. So taking time to make sure we have good service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and taking time to make sure that we have good service to our fellow human beings. If we're doing that, we're living and leading a productive life.
Inshallah. And any final words of advice for our productive Muslim fans? Our main audience is 18 to 24 years old, Muslims from the US, UK, and Malaysia as well.
MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala bless all of our young brothers and sisters, and may Allah Ta'ala bless you to really take advantage of the time you have. The Prophet ﷺ is hadith ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun min al-nas as-sihhatu wal-faragh. There's two things most people are cheated out of. There's their health and their spare time. So as young people, you have a lot more spare time than those of us who are older. So take advantage of that spare time to do things beneficial for your soul, and to do things that will help you, equip you to serve humanity more thoroughly. Take time so to learn foreign languages so that you can communicate the message of Islam to different people. Take time to memorize the Quran and memorize the hadith of the Prophet and to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to learn about your religion, because later on you might not have time to do those things that take a healthy commitment of time. But also take time to have halal fun, and that helps you to get through the difficulties and struggles that every young person has to deal with, and it helps you to get through the boredom of studying. Sometimes study can be boring for some people, so you need to step back and be able to take time to have fun, but halal fun, not haram fun. Go out camping and hiking, and get into the outdoors, go swimming, and other activities that strengthen your body, but also help you to enjoy yourself and have a little bit of leisure. But always remember, you're an adult now. You're 18, 20, 17, 20, 19. Those are adult ages. Remember that adolescence was something that was invented here in the West to give adults excuses to continue to act like children. So once a person's pubescent, reach the age of puberty, they're an adult, because even if a young lady's 13, 14, young guy's 14, 15, and they've reached puberty, that means they can father and they can have children. So human beings that can father and have children are adults. So it behooves our young people to think like adults and act like adults, to have fun, halal fun, but realize that's just a break and an opportunity to regroup so we can go back to our adult pursuits with more energy and more vigor, insha'Allah ta'ala.
Imam Zaid, Jazakallah khair for this beautiful, inspiring interview. Really, really enjoyed it. Inshallah, fans would have gathered a lot of benefit from it, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And inshallah, take care of yourself. We may make du'a for you. Allah keeps you productive for our ummah.
And
helps
jamia.
Us all become productive Muslims. Jazakallah khair. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.